Look at me. What you perceive creates an illusion of who I am.
You don't know me.
You don't know me.
These arms hold the weight of my ambition. These hands craft efficiency. I build machines that gather light and give energy to my needs. Solar panels that power to make our future green.
You don't know me.
You just see me. My fingers are on the pulse of man's quest. I build robotics to inform what's next. In these innovations lie our success.
You don't know me.
I will belong to no limits. I code, I build, I create, I make.
You don't know me.
You don't know me.
You don't know me.
But you will.
The World Series picture is a little bit clearer, and Jerry Jones has a huge decision to make. Dak or Tony Romo? All this and more up next on Sports Weekly.
You are tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Sports Weekly.
We're throwing it back.
that's my intent.
Throwback Thursday, DMX.
And drop. And shut them down. Open up shop.
First, we had them like, oh. Now they like,
no.
That's a Sports Weekly roll. Hey, guys, welcome to another Crunk Lit episode.
Raina wouldn't have let this happen.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Raina would have been like, can you please play the newest Ratchet song that I heard today? Sports Weekly, every Thursday at 7. I'm Eric Renee Davis. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Instastory, at Erica Renee D.
Hey, guys, this is Charlie Myers. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
I am Josh Rodriguez. You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram. Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_.
Instagram. And as always, you can follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow Black Hollywood Live on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram. At The Sports Weekly. Raina's not here with us today, but she tells us that she sends her love.
Yep.
That car trouble, though.
Right. Dang, Charlie, just put her on Front Street. Front Street. Okay, so right now we are kind of watching the Dodgers Cubs game. Dodgers Cubs are tied 1-1.
It's 1-1 in the bottom of the fifth. It's been a back and forth game. It's interesting. I will keep you updated.
Well, how about let's go ahead and talk about baseball then?
Yeah. Let's talk about it. So I talked about this last week. Mm-hmm. I love this time of the year because I feel like everybody is excited as baseball as I am. The series that I want to talk about, and then we'll get to the Cubs and the Dodgers, is the Cleveland Indians and the Toronto Blue Jays. The Cleveland Indians dominated that series. They went on yesterday, and they won the series 4-1, but their bullpen guided them through that whole entire. Andrew Miller is insane.
Miss you, baby.
Yeah. I know you feel bad because he came from the Yankees, and you're probably like, oh, God, why can't we just keep him one more season?
Why did you guys get rid of him?
Fire sale. I mean, we got to start over. Okay. We were going nowhere, needed to get some assets. I'm actually glad we did, not for nothing, because we did get some prospects in return, and our young farm system's looking pretty good.
I'm just going to say this. If the Cubs and the Cleveland Indians...
Yeah, that's going to hurt.
You're closer.
Chapman and Andrew Miller in the World Series, that'd be kind of ironic.
Seriously.
But I guess my question to you, how are they going to use Andrew Miller in this next series? Because it's the World Series. They haven't been here since 1997.
Yep.
They haven't won any World Series. Am I correct? This is a big year for Cleveland fans. I did call it in the beginning of the season. I said that they were going to make it in the World Series.
Did you say that?
I did say that.
Oh, shout out to you.
And
I don't remember that.
So you can roll the tapes back.
I
do have to defend you in a way. I did say that the Blue Jays were going to win this series, but the bats weren't there. Just your impressions on the series in general.
If you're a casual baseball watcher, I didn't expect this for Cleveland to get this far. And what, they only lost one game in the entire postseason so far.
Yeah, and they have like four injuries. They don't have their catcher. They don't have their star pitcher. They've lost so many talented people, and yet they're still going above and beyond.
And they've been injured the entire postseason too, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so all the naysayers, of course, first of all, it's Cleveland sports. So no one really has any belief or faith in the ability of any team out of Cleveland, professional team out of Cleveland, to get out of postseason successfully. So that's the first thing. Then with all the injuries, so I have to be completely honest, I kind of tuned this out. I kind of tuned the Indians out.
They play old-fashioned baseball.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's not exciting to watch.
I'm not an AL fan either.
We'll get to that a little bit. But it's not exciting to watch because they bring it to their bullpen early. Andrew Miller went 11 innings, had 21 strikeouts, I believe.
Something like that,
And zero ERA. He has not given up one run in his 11 innings that he's pitched. That outshines everything. My question to you with that is, how are they going to play him? Are they going to use him more or less depending on who they face? What do you guys think? What do you think is going
to
happen?
He's kind of used to stop the bleeding, I guess. Like maybe if let's say they have a 3-2 lead in the seventh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Runner on, maybe he brings him in. Francona brings him in to stop the bleeding or just to halt the game right there. That's how I think he uses Andrew Miller, not so much as a closer or a setup man, but someone when you need an out or two. You know you can go to him and get that, and then even maybe continue the next inning. But I think, you know, he has to be a little careful because these relievers are not used to going this far into the game.
No,
I agree.
Yeah, so, it's,
a,
go I mean, 11
it's
innings
a fine is, line that he has to start walking in the World Series. But, I mean, if he trusts Andrew Miller that much, looks got him this far.
Now, I get my question to you. If they get in trouble, let's say, for instance, they go 2 games down in the World Series, would you start Andrew Miller?
No, but doesn't that also depend on if they're facing the Cubs or the Dodgers? Like, I mean, like, wouldn't that also depend on the opponent? Like,
well, I can tell you this, and we were talking about this before. If they face the Cubs are don't know how to adjust to a breaking ball.
Okay.
And Andrew Miller is known for throwing sliders, curveballs, and he's the king of that.
Okay.
So I see him being used in that series. If the Dodgers are there. I still see him being used, but not as much. So, we'll see.
I just don't think you can bring a reliever and throw him into a starting position. You have to build up the arm strength. You know, there's a lot to it. You just can't throw a reliever and expect him to throw 5 or 6 innings of, you know, good baseball. And then on top of that, if you bring him out the bullpen, now you're missing that aspect of your bullpen.
Yep.
So, you're kind of hurting it. Not hurting your team, but, you know, it's kind of like, it doesn't really make sense to me. And on top of that, they have a good rotation.
They really do. I mean, onto the Blue Jays side of it. Mm. What happened?
What a disappointment.
Good pitching beats good hitting.
But that lineup is so loaded, and that was the last chance for them. Joey Bautista is probably going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Encarnacion, somewhere else. This was the last time that lineup is going to be there. The only one that was present for me was Josh Donaldson, and he barely was there. I mean, he was doing stuff for them, but he's only one man. So
no, well, Bautista, and how do you pronounce it? Encarnacion?
Encarnacion.
Yes. Now, will both of them be leaving the Blue Jays because of cap space issues? Okay, yes. Okay.
Money.
Okay.
I see Encarnacion going to the Boston Red Sox. I'm sorry to say that. And I see, I don't know. I feel like they're very selfish. I don't know if you guys saw, did you see Joey Bautista's tweet before the game?
Before Tuesday's game? Wednesday's game?
No, the game, I'm sorry, yes, Wednesday's
okay,
game.
Okay, so I didn't see
He pretty much said, because the starter of the Cleveland Indians was a rookie, and he only started one game in the regular season, and he dominated them. And he said something along the lines, he should be shaking in his boots. And he clearly was way better than that lineup. I don't understand why you would brag about something before a game when you're down 3-1. Like I don't understand that. Yeah, like I understand that there's emotions involved with it and it's the postseason, but you got to be a little bit humble knowing that you could get eliminated that night.
Well, yeah. I think it comes back down to again. I don't really think that anyone, sports fan, baseball fan, really projected the Indians to do this well. So maybe Bautista was feeling himself. Because even though you're down, you know, 3-1, who really thinks they're going to get eliminated? Like, who thinks they're going to get eliminated to the Indians? And maybe it's one of those things where you're playing down to your competitor's level. What was the Indians' regular season record?
They were better than the Blue Jays.
Yeah, were they better than the Blue Jays' regular season?
The Blue Jays just made it into the wild
game. Okay.
But the Blue Jays are just a sexy pick because of their lineup.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like he said, you know, the Indians don't play new school baseball. They're more old-fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
And they're missing a couple players. So everyone just thought, all right, Indians, whatever. And I thought they were going to lose to the Red Sox in four games in the first round.
Yeah.
So, no, but as far as Joey Bautista, I mean, you're down 3-1. Maybe it's his way of motivating his team. I know some players do that. You know, you say something brass and all of a sudden it fires up your team. I don't know. That's the only thing I could think of.
It wasn't very smart, though.
Yeah.
It wasn't very smart.
I look forward to the World Series, and I commend Cleveland fans. You have one championship and potentially another one this year.
I'm happy for the city of Cleveland.
I guess so.
I'm happy.
Title Town, USA.
Relax. Relax.
Hey. Listen, I'm just being facetious.
I know, and the Browns are playing right now. And if you're a Browns fan, just give it up today. This year, I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah, the season's over.
But on to Dodgers and the Cubs. The Dodgers and the Cubs are tied right now. Mm-hmm. The series is 2-2. It's currently 1-1 in the bottom of the fifth.
Okay, who's at bat?
It is Kiki Hernandez.
Okay,
Kiki. I've said this since the beginning. I think the Cubs are going to win the World Series. I still believe that. But I will tell you this.
Okay.
If the Cubs lose tonight, they will lose the series.
Mm.
Reason being, they have Clayton Kershaw coming in, and then they have Rich Hill, which has been amazing for them. The trade from Oakland to there, he's been lights out for them.
So Clayton will pitch game. He'll start game five. One,
yes.
Two, three, four, six. Five. Oh, wait.
Six. I'm
We're
so sorry.
Five, right?
Six.
We're
six.
Five. Okay, yeah, 2-2. Okay.
Yeah, so if Lester's pitching for the Cubs right now,
right.
And if he goes through this and they get this win, they have a chance.
Well, who pitches game six? Who starts game six for the Cubs?
That would be Arrieta.
Okay, well,
And Arrieta was great last year. He won the Cy Young, but this year he's been very shaky. And I think it was game two.
Yeah.
He gave up two home runs in a matter of like four innings or something along those lines. He just wasn't there for me. But they are still my pick. I feel like the Dodgers are shaky in the way that their bullpen is. I don't believe that they have the tools to succeed in the World Series. Even if they make it into the World Series, they're not going to beat Cleveland.
But that's the thing, though. Like again, of course the Dodgers, I think, in my mind, I don't know what their regular season records were. But
it's pretty good.
But were they better than the Indians' regular season?
By the same.
About right. The same? Okay.
No, I think Indians probably had a better record.
The Dodgers, because of their, 3 years consecutive postseason fails, no one believes in them either. But just as being a homer, and I'm not a diehard Dodger fan, so don't mistake this for like being a diehard homer. But I do enjoy watching Dodger baseball. I do, and you know, I love Puig. You guys know I love Puig.
Oh, God, give me a break.
I know you guys hate that I love Puig, but honestly, I think he keeps the game exciting, and he keeps it contentious, and again, like, it makes it more interesting for me to watch, at least. I don't know. I think that the Dodgers are the underdog, and everyone has all this hype surrounding the Cubs and the 108-year curse. And if they didn't do it last year in the Back to the Future year, what makes you think they're going to do it this year?
Because of the best team in baseball this year.
Yeah. Okay.
They have the lineup. They have the rotation. They have the bullpen.
Yeah.
Everything is in place for them right now. The Dodgers still have pieces missing.
They do. And considering the Dodgers still have pieces missing, the Dodgers shouldn't even be in the NLDS.
I did not see them winning against the Nationals. I thought they were going to lose, but I was proven wrong with that.
The Dodgers have hard times against red teams.
Teams in red?
They do.
Teams in red.
They do. They have bad luck against teams like Cardinals.
The Cardinals are their kryptonite.
Nationals. Who else are they? Cardinals and Nationals particularly, but yeah. So, sorry, Josh. I let you go ahead and jump in there.
Oh, no, I think the Dodgers, I don't think they're better than the Cubs. I think Cubs win tonight, and I actually think they win game six, too, even though Kershaw is going to pitch. I just think the Cubs are a better team. I can't picture the Dodgers beating the Cubs four times out of seven games. So I think even if the Dodgers win tonight, I think the Cubs win two straight.
Ooh. See, I see them going to game seven, and they
Me too.
Them winning against Rich Hill.
See, but I say Dodgers win tonight, games.
That's not
going to
happen.
Dodgers win. Listen,
when I
walked into the studio, I was like, oh my God, the Dodgers are down. He was like, it's still early. Now he's saying emphatically the Dodgers are going to lose. Which is it, Charlie? Is it still early or is it not going to happen?
It's still early, but it's not going to happen.
I say Dodgers win this game, Cubs win game six, and Dodgers win game seven.
Okay, so you got...
Dodgers. I got Dodgers in seven.
You got the Dodgers and Cleveland going to World Series.
I don't even want to think about who's coming out of the AL. Right. But yeah, okay. Dodgers. Yeah, Dodgers, okay. Cleveland.
We'll see.
And you guys both have Cubs, Cleveland, obviously.
Cubs, yes. Cleveland, Cubs in six.
Cubs in six.
Yeah.
Cubs in five.
Wait. You're talking about Cubs in six for the World Series.
I'm talking
about,
yes, for the World Series, but I think both, yeah.
Cubs in six for this series as well.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Cubs in seven. Cubs in seven.
Okay. I say Dodgers in seven. And for the World Series, I'm going to say Dodgers in seven.
Homer! No!
BTW followed me on Insta story. I bought a New York hat, New York Yankees hat, while I was in New York.
I'm so proud of you.
Let me tell you, I love this freaking hat.
I feel like everybody does that when they go to New York.
Right? Is it such a New York touristy thing to do?
Yeah.
Am I a tourist?
Well, every New Yorker has a Yankee hat or a Mad hat, depending on what fan you are, but you got to own a Yankee hat.
At least you didn't buy a Mets hat.
And
some
Tim's. Timberlands.
Some Timberlands.
You buy Timberlands?
I did not buy any Timberlands. There's no need for them out here in LA.
Yeah, I'll keep you updated, but let's move on.
Let's talk about, since in Raina's absence, we're going to talk about some NBA.
Nice.
So, Maurice Bates, there's an article, I think on NBA.com or NBCSports.com, Yahoo Sports.com, where Maurice Bates talked about the chemistry, or lack of chemistry, rather, on the Warriors team last year, and how he thinks that that lack of chemistry contributed to the breakdown of the Warriors and their inability to finish the drill. Maurice Bates says that Draymond Green got into it a lot with his teammates, especially Klay Thompson. It's interesting because I sent Raina this article, and last year on the panel, Josh Rodd, we talked a lot. Raina takes up for the Warriors. That's her second team or whatever, She's a Laker fan, but she's a
bandwagon
Warrior fan. Raina's a bandwagon Warrior fan. You heard it here first. And so she always talks about how great they gel together. And I've always said, I don't believe that.
Because
Klay Thompson, I think, has been the unsung hero of that team. And when you have someone who is responsible for 70% of the times you are getting over the hump and you're still not considered to be as valuable as a Steph Curry, then that, to me, automatically creates ego problems and chemistry problems. So let's get to the question. So Draymond is allegedly the bully on the team. Draymond caused a lot of the breakdowns in chemistry, says Maurice Bates. Do you guys think that the Warriors' chemistry is as smooth as it seems on the outside? Do you really believe that they do have problems with egos and chemistry in the locker room?
I'll let you start.
Okay. You don't win as many games as you win in the regular season without having chemistry, first of all.
Okay.
They definitely, absolutely will 100% have chemistry on the basketball court. They move the ball very well. I think the reason why they lost in the finals is because they went away from that. In game seven, they stopped moving the ball. They got very stagnant on offense.
Hero
and
ball.
They went one-on-one. Yeah, mm-hmm. hero ball. Mm-hmm. And they went away from what they did best. So I wouldn't say they lost in the finals last year because they don't have chemistry. They lost because they didn't do what got them there in the first place. Now, okay. As far as the egos off the court, that's another thing.
Okay.
I think that can cause some, I don't know if it's chemistry issues, but, like, you know, if you don't like the person you're playing with, especially in basketball, that's not going to work sometimes, you know? And adding Kevin Durant, that's another person who needs the ball. You know, it might cause some friction later on, especially, you know, if they lose a game, a close game at the buzzer, someone takes a shot that maybe Draymond thought Kevin should have took it, or he should have taken it, and it was Klay who took it. It might cause some friction there, but I don't know. I think they move the ball well. I think on the court their games fit together, but who knows? Maybe there's a problem in the locker room.
So my problem with the Warriors is that they do so well in the season, and then they seem to just drop off when it comes to the playoffs.
Steph Curry, particularly.
Exactly.
He goes missing.
I just don't... Again, I'm not a coach, and I'm not Steve Bakar by any means, but I think that there should be an importance of winning and going into the playoffs and resting your talent.
I agree with you.
I don't understand when you are winning so many games and trying to break the season single record for wins. That's so important to you. I don't understand that. Why shouldn't it be important to you to win championships and rest your stars?
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't do that, and they were tired.
They were tired.
And they were trying to play hero ball,
right.
And it was not working. Now, my question to you guys, and because I am a little oblivious about this, when is contract time for a bunch of those players?
Oh, I don't even know. Klay, Steph, I can't even tell you.
Okay.
We have to look it up, yeah.
I think once it's contract time for every single one of those players, every single one of those players is going to go to every single different team. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Because there are too many golden eggs in the bag.
There are.
Because they're all great players individually. But as a whole, yes, they know how to move the ball because of the good coaching. But they don't want to. They like you saw with the Draymond wants the ball, and then they have Durant coming in. I just personally think they're going to do well, and they're going to make a push for another championship. But I don't see them winning it again.
Well, they didn't win last year, so yeah, I don't see them winning again either with this core. So let's to address the Draymond issue. I think every NBA team needs a bully. You have the old school Bulls who had the Dennis Rodman. I mean, even the Clippers a few years ago, we had Matt Barnes, who's a bully. Kevin Garnett is considered a bully. You do need that presence, particularly in the paint, to take up, you know, for your softer shooters, whatever, and to, you know, be that physical force. So if Draymond is a bully and that breaks down the chemistry of the team, I mean, I can see it. It's very believable. But I think the chemistry, again, is not so much Draymond being a bully because you need that. Because not only is he a bully, he is he's a disruptive force and he's productive. I think, again, it comes down to Clay needing to be somewhat of a superstar. I don't think I don't think Clay goes out there on the court and acts like he needs to be the superstar. But when you listen to
the Cubs just hit a 2-run homer.
Why are you cheering?
Because I want the Cubs to win.
He wants to be right.
Yeah, I of course I have to be right. It's 3-1. Addison Russell just hit.
Addison Russell.
Yeah.
Wow.
What inning? Top of the what?
Top of the sixth. Anyway, sorry.
I know. So yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is that when you listen to sports talk radio the days after a Warriors win or a loss, I just remember so many times Clay being the reason that the Warriors stayed in the game when Steph went missing in finals, when Steph went missing in playoffs. And I think that gets to a competitor's morale eventually. So I want to say that. And then, do I think they're going to win this year? No, I really don't. And I think that adding Kevin Durant to the mix will be more of an Achilles heel than it will be bringing trophies to the organization. Maybe that's me just being a hater. As a Clipper fan, I can say that. I mean, I can say that I'm biased against the Warriors and biased towards the Clippers. But I don't think that adding Kevin Durant with all those great players, all those scores, all those shooters, all those guys who need to have the ball in their hand at the end of the game is gonna bode well with Kevin Durant there.
I want to agree with you because I don't like super teams.
Right.
But I don't agree with you.
Okay.
Because Steph is, as much as Steph does shoot the ball, he's not a selfish player.
He's not. Okay.
He'll give the ball up. Draymond's game is based on his all-around game. So he rebounds well. He plays defense well. He does pass the ball very well, even though he might be a bully, quote-unquote. Mm-hmm. He passes the ball very well. The only one who doesn't really create for others is Clay. That's okay. He can just chill on the perimeter and shoot threes all day. They all just have to accept lesser roles. That's really it. No one's going to really average 28, 30 points a game.
That's not going to happen.
Who's going to take the lesser role, though?
I don't think Steph will have a problem doing it. I don't think Clay will have a problem doing it. The only one I think might have a problem doing it is Draymond. That's it. But Draymond,
He's not the scorer, though.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's the one who facilitates. So it's kind of like, you know what? He's not going to care if he averages 8 a game, 10 a game. I think they're going to be
fine. It's going to be a problem in the future.
It might take some time, but I think they're going to be okay. I think their biggest problem is going to be who's going to take the last shot to close out the game. That's going to be their biggest problem.
Okay.
And they might run into some hero ball, which killed them in the finals.
Which killed them in the finals.
You know, but we're talking about the Warriors. Like, they weren't 2 minutes away from winning back-to-back championships. These guys were 2 minutes away. You know what I mean? It's not like they were far away from winning two titles.
That game, Game 7, was not a competitive game. So, I mean, well, we can talk about this for days, but...
And don't forget how Draymond kind of ruined it when he got suspended. Was it Game 5 he got suspended after
Right, he got suspended for Game 5, but you still have two more games to win, so you really can't throw it all on Draymond.
Oh, I'm not. I'm not. I just think that, as you said, super teams... Like, if you're a super team, you better live up to your name.
You got to win the championship.
Yeah, you got to win the championship. Yeah,
there's no way otherwise.
Technically, this year, there are three super teams.
Who?
Well, in the analyst standpoint.
The
in
Knicks. Our,
Knicks the, are, the, please, again, the Knicks stop. Aren't going to do
no,
anything.
They're not.
But
don't get my Knicks fans excited. Yeah. I don't want to hear
No, them. But I mean, in the analyst standpoint, it's the Cavs.
The Cavs.
Yeah. The Knicks and the Warriors.
And the Warriors, yeah. Josh, what say you?
I don't think the Knicks are a super team at all.
I don't think so either, because Derrick Rose, first of all, can't even...
Well, he has to stay on the court. Porzingis is still young. Mello. Yeah. I don't want to get into Mello, because my Knicks fans are going to hate me. I'm a Knicks fan who is not fond of Carmelo Anthony.
Listen, I love Carmelo as a person. I love Carmelo.
Oh, he's
as
dope. Like, he's a dope person.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Just very conscious, like very socially and politically aware, but when it comes to... Listen.
No. I just... No, I like... He's... so talented. Like, he's ridiculously talented. I just don't think you can build a team around
you
him.
You can't. You can't.
He has to be a cog that you fill in. Like, oh, now we have Melo. You can't be like, all right, we have Melo. What can we do to build around him?
Maybe Melo would work well with the Warriors. I mean, maybe not this Warriors, but like God. Before. I mean, I'm just saying.
Could
like,
you imagine?
You would need to plug Melo into a team that was already on the cusp.
Melo would have fit good with the Celtics last year, who needed Ooh. Like a scorer to take over a game.
Brad Stevens. I like Brad Stevens, by the way.
He would have fit very well with them.
Well, we're going to talk about some football. All right. Talk about some DraftKings football. Not real football, but fantasy football. How are your fantasy football teams doing? I don't want to know.
Oh, I'm definitely going to be 6-1 after okay, this whatever. Week. So,
what about you?
My best team's 5-1, so I'm going to talk about them.
Well, I play one fantasy league, and because I'm so busy, I haven't had time to set my roster every week. But this is why DraftKings is good, yes. Because DraftKings.com allows you to not have to be committed to a season-long team. You can change your team every single week. So let's say that your starting running back has already pulled both hamstrings. Ah, that sucks for you. And your sleeper pick is sleeping? Sucks for you. Okay? Or your quarterback is Aaron Rodgers? It sucks for me.
Especially tonight.
I could have told you to sit.
I just forgot. It's not too late, guys, at DraftKings.com. You can save your season and you can still win huge cash prizes at DraftKings.com. It's a destination for one-week fantasy football. That means no season-long commitments again, guys. So if you have bust on your team and you have bench warmers, you can still salvage your fantasy football hopes with DraftKings.com because you don't have to commit to a season-long team. You don't have to worry about injuries. Every week is a brand new season at DraftKings.com. It makes you get really, really excited about that. You can start anew every single week. All you have to do is pick your contest, test, draft your team, and follow the action live. Even if your current fantasy football team, again, like mine, is going down the drain, you can still win huge cash prizes at DraftKings.com. How do you do it? You go to DraftKings.com. Right now, you use the code BSports, as in bodacious.
Bodacious.
I like that word.
And you can play for free with your very first deposit. Again, guys, the code to play free with your first deposit is B, as in boy, BSports, to play for free. And you can get in on your share of $1 million in total prizes this weekend only at DraftKings.com. Go do it right now and then win some money. Send us some.
Nice.
J-Rod, what you got?
As far as what, DraftKings or?
Oh, as far as, oh, hey, it's your world we're just living in.
I want to talk about the NFL ratings are down, Ooh. Guys, and down big time. It's the lowest ratings that they've had in 10 years. They're down 10%. And I want to get your thoughts. I'm going to open it up. Why do you think they're down? I mean, some people suggest Kaepernick, which I find kind of
no, a little ridiculous. That would give you more views.
Some people are saying the election season, which kind of makes sense, but it's not like there's something going on every Sunday.
That's true.
See, what I'm curious about is, and I have a lot of reasons why, but the main thing is NFL and college football. College football is actually up in the ratings. I don't know if you guys noticed
that. I didn't
know that. But it's up in the ratings, and NFL is down.
Down, yeah.
Is it because of all the things that are going on with Tom Brady and the injuries and the concussions? And,
I think so.
And all that. I don't know. I feel like, and we have this discussion about baseball as well, where it's getting a little bit too old-fashioned. They're not allowed to showboat. They're not allowed to taunt. They're not allowed to do all these things where NBA, you can certainly do that.
Yeah.
And so I that's where I'm missing it. Like, I still love the sport, and I still watch it every Sunday, but I would love to see somebody doing some, like, I don't know.
twerking, like Antonio Brown twerking in the end zone. Yeah. Doing the booty pop.
Yeah, I would love to see that. And I get that a lot of our generation is not cable, we don't have cable.
Yeah, we're watching stuff on Twitter, online,
YouTube, everything. So I get that. But there's other, if that's the case, cater to that. Have a platform online.
But though, NFL is now streaming, I think, Thursday night games
Twitter right now.
And I agree, like, a lot of it is how we as millennials consume our content. We go to Twitter, we go to YouTube. And so I do believe that a lot of the NFL ratings are not being accounted for. Like, back in the day, Nielsen ratings were the only way that you could figure out if you had, like, a Nielsen box in your house. That's how everything was calculated. But now there's so many other ways to decide and discern how your viewers and how your audiences are actually watching, or if they're watching. Not just, you know, Nielsen, but you have Twitter, you have YouTube, you have, you know, Facebook, you have Facebook Live, you have Periscope. So I do think that the NFL might not be accounting for all of its audiences. And then I do think that the election season is taking a toll on it, because there was one Monday night football game First of all the Monday night football games have sucked this year.
That's what I was going to say.
They suck. The matchups have sucked. But there was one in particular that was on a debate night.
Right.
And no matter, you know, what your political affiliations are, even if you're over the election, it's still a reality show type atmosphere. So everyone is tuning
especially
in.
Especially this year.
Especially this year. So everyone's tuning into the debates on a Monday night football game, which normally would have all eyes on the NFL game. Everyone's watching, you know, Hillary and Donald go at it in debate. The protests, maybe that's having a small, what do you think?
I'll say this. Where I'm from, I'm in a suburb of New York. Now I live from a suburb from New York. A lot of conservatives live where I
conservatives?
I'm from. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Suburb, New York.
Okay.
Rockland County. What up? I saw a couple statuses like, I don't want to watch football. Like, no football Sundays was a hashtag going around. So,
really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Not many, but few. And they were older people.
Well, we don't care if they're watching anyway, whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but they're still viewers. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But I don't think that has an effect. I think it's a mixture of what we all were just talking about. I think the No Fun League, you know, NFL stands for No Fun League. You want to see someone kind of taunt a little bit, you know? The fact that you get a 15-yard penalty for taunting, that's insane.
It's ridiculous.
And it actually makes me mad, even if I'm watching a game that has no relevance to, you know, my favorite team, the Giants, or my fantasy football players. I get mad watching that. And then to hit your point, the Sunday night football games have been terrible. The Monday night football games have been
Thursday
terrible.
Thursday night football. Tonight, the Bears and the Packers?
It's a close game, but the game has been terrible from what I've... I mean, we came here on halftime.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just think people are getting, not tired of it, but you have so many different things at your fingertips that you can access that, all right, the game stinks, let me do this.
And the absence of superstars, like Tom Brady was suspended, and then Peyton Manning's retired, Aaron Rodgers sucks, Cam Newton, the Panthers, suck.
Right.
You know, the last year's superstars, what?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, are you saying that the young talent is not as good as it once was?
I'm saying that the marquee talent is not there.
Okay.
Not having Tom Brady for four games, not having a Peyton Manning, not having Aaron Rodgers performing well, not having Cam Newton dabbing and, you know, being undefeated this time in the season.
Ooh, that team is doing awful.
They're just so bad. So, again, the marquee talent from last year, the Patriots were undefeated this time last year. The Panthers were undefeated this time last year. And
there's no storyline.
There's no storyline.
Yeah.
I think, were the Texans undefeated this time last year? I don't know. Maybe I made that up.
but it goes to the storyline aspect.
Like, I mean, like, okay, the Raiders are doing well. Derek Carr is a great fantasy football player, but who cares? You know?
Right.
Like, who cares that the Broncos, you know, were undefeated up until they lost to the Falcons or whoever? Like, who's their quarterback? Paxton Lynch? Simeon? Like, it's... Like, who cares?
There's no interesting team. There's no interesting player. And then on top of that, the gameplay has been awful. So it's just a perfect storm of everything.
Yeah.
And I think we live in a generation or an age where we can just access different things whenever we want. So it's very easy to just... And switch our attention to something else.
And to your point, Charlie, about college football ratings going up, and I'm a huge college football fan. I get you guys know this. College football, to me, is always more exciting than NFL. I mean, I don't have an affinity for one NFL team, but the thing about college football is that I need the Miami Hokies. I need the Miami score, please, when you get a second. The thing about college football is that when you lose a game, your chances of making it into the playoffs are like hugely.
You're done.
You're basically
unless
done.
You're like five. There's like five teams in the country who can lose a game.
Like who can lose a game?
Yeah.
And let's say you lose a game, it has to be early. There's all these contingencies that go into when you lose that one game, and
right.
So the stakes are higher essentially for college football, and that's what makes it more exciting. That's why college football ratings will always be, I think, better than what.
I'm going to tell you why I don't like college football. I don't like college football for that same reason.
Really?
Because when I turn on Syracuse versus whoever, it's like, this game doesn't mean anything. Even in week three, like, there's so many games on the college football schedule that mean absolutely nothing. I don't care if you win your conference. If you cannot make the national championship game, it doesn't matter to me that you're playing. I don't care if you win your conference. Who cares? You can't be national champion. Like, the whole title, like, these bowl games are like participation trophies.
In a sense.
It's just, to me, it's like, if only four or five teams have a realistic shot, the whole slate of games are completely irrelevant to me.
Well, see, that's
why I don't watch college
So first
football.
Of all, so you have no business watching Syracuse football game anyway, because they're not a
from New York.
You have no business watching
Syracuse in the North. I'm just telling you right now, in the Northeast, you don't watch college football.
Okay, I get it.
Because the closest college to me that's even a little bit relevant is Rutgers.
Okay, you have no business watching that game. No business. You should only be watching the only football teams that matter come from the Power Five conferences, and so
right,
yeah. So you're watching Syracuse football. That's You should know better. What's the score of the Miami
game? It's 37-16, and it was
Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech. Go Hokies. And so all you Mark Richt apologists out there, I hope you're enjoying this butt-whipping that Coach Richt and the Hurricanes are taking
right now.
That's
hilarious.
Okay, I just want you to know that. The grass is definitely not green on the Coach Mark Richt side, for all you people who are wondering.
Now, for NFL, would it be beneficial for them to have less preseason games? I mean, I'm still not on the fence that it's the election. Like, I feel
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I don't think that's it either.
I feel like people would make time for that. A certain demographic is going to watch both the election and then both the NFL, in my opinion. This is just my opinion.
Okay.
Because I like the election, but I would by far watch Monday Night Football over the election. That's just my opinion.
But let's say the last debate was tonight. Let's say it wasn't last night. Let's say it was happening right now during the Bears-Packers game.
I'm watching the debate.
Me too!
Because the team sucks.
Because the team sucks.
Yeah, but if they didn't suck.
But so many of the Sunday night, Thursday night, and Monday night matchups have sucked. On Sunday, there's nothing else to watch but Sunday football and Meet the Press. So everyone's watching Sunday football. But on Sunday nights, Thursday nights, and Monday nights, like, that's really your night primetime entertainment.
Yeah.
And if you have to compete with the presidential debate like they did on that Monday night, or compete with 60 Minutes, you know, that chronicles Hillary or Trump's, like, ascent to political stardom versus an awful NFL game, you're going to watch 60 Minutes.
I'll also add that I think maybe fantasy football a little bit, because the channel NFL Red Zone, maybe
Ooh.
People are not even watching the games, they're just watching that. I have a bunch of friends who get together.
That's what I do.
Every day, and they don't even watch the games. They just turn on NFL Red Zone, watch their fantasy football teams, and that's it.
That's it. NFL is boring during the regular season. I'm sorry. I find it really boring.
I disagree.
Okay.
I mean, this year I don't disagree because I cover Monday Night Football on AfterBuzz and I'm doing Thursday Night Today and we do Sports Weekly and every time you're just like, well, that game wasn't good, but this is what happened.
Yeah, right.
Now, do you think the Raiders are potentially seeing that and they're saying, okay, well, we can move from Oakland and go to Las Vegas and make it more entertaining now because now we have this Sin City and because it's not official, but it's like 90% chance that they're going to Vegas.
They're going.
See, that sucks now because now that the Raiders are finally turning their franchise around with Derek Carr and I mean I'm not sure what their record was last year. But they were on the come up last year, and now they have arrived. And that would really suck for the Oakland fan base to lose.
Really good fan base.
Yeah.
Very good fan base.
But they're going to make more. I'm an Oakland A's fan. So a lot of the fans that are Oakland A's fans are Raiders fans. And I feel bad for them, but at the same time, Vegas is going to be able to front the money that Oakland will not. And they're going to make so much more money. I see potential for that team if they go to Vegas. So, I mean,
from a business standpoint, it's definitely the most business savvy move to make. But, you know, as someone who's a diehard fan of a few teams, I would hate it to be my team to leave as they're getting good.
But it'll like I was saying, it'll make it more entertaining. People will want to go and watch that game because they're just tied to Vegas.
Yeah, you're going to be in Vegas on vacation. Hey, let's go to the Raider game.
But if you are an Oakland resident or an Oakland local,
it stinks for you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's great for football fans.
Yeah.
It's great for people, for tourists.
It's probably better for the league too.
Better for the league.
I hate to say it because I think Oakland Raider fans are one of the best fan
bases
in football.
Y'all die hard out there.
Yeah, they are a really good fan base.
Anything else with NFL ratings?
That's pretty much it. Yeah,
that's
I just want to get your thoughts and reason why.
What happened with, was it Josh Brown today?
Oh, God, Josh Brown, the kicker for the Giants,
yep.
has been writing in his little diary how he's consistently physically abusive to his wife. And so he's not going to the London game.
He's done. He should be done, at least. I mean,
if
Ray Rice was done, he should be done.
And that's another thing, like concussions, and then how the NFL is inconsistent with how it handles domestic violence.
Sweep it under the rug.
Sweep it under the rug, yeah. But no one expects, I mean, this is going to sound so cavalier and so insensitive, but no one expects for a kicker to be abusing his life. I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't expect it. I think that's why the Giants only suspended him that one game, because, like, with, I guess, perpetuating stereotypes, you know, you look at a Ray Rice, you definitely want to suspend him, you know, for a season because of optics, how he looks, how the video looked, but with Josh Brown,
and no one gave
him
a chance when he came back. That's another thing. And Greg Hardy was accused of domestic violence.
Yeah.
I think Greg Rice wasn't the only one.
Yeah,
you know, I guarantee you, there's someone on every team.
Oh God, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's, I don't know. It's just inconsistencies, and the marijuana policy too. You know, players getting suspended.
Like
for
I said,
weed, like,
it's beginning to bore me. Because again, I have to be careful in what I say because a lot of things that I believe, a lot of people don't believe. Like I believe that marijuana should be legal. Like that. But it doesn't make sense to me for it to kind of hold. I feel like they're holding back these players that could potentially have so much talent and so much entertainment.
Josh Gordon.
Yeah. So it hurts me as a fan of sports in general
to see that. Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to talk some more football before we wrap it up tonight. Cowboys are at a crossroads. Jerry Jones has to make a decision between Dak Prescott. Roll the tape. I've been saying Dak Prescott. I've been talking about Dak Prescott.
Dak Riders.
Being a Dak Rider. I've been talking about being a Dak Rider since the season, since preseason. And, again, I've been a Dak Rider because as an SEC football aficionado, I've been watching him play at Mississippi State. He holds every passing record at Mississippi State. I really thought that he was a true talent in college, and I knew that it would translate to the NFL, and so far it has. Now, Jerry Jones said a few weeks ago, that this was still Tony Romo's team, but that was before the Cowboys were 5-1.
Why are you always lying?
Why are you always lying? That pissed me off because I felt that to announce to the world that while this rookie quarterback is leading the team effort to a one-loss season and you are still crowning your old, washed-up, injury-prone quarterback as the leader of this team, that to me hurts the morale of your rookie quarterback. It makes him think, dang, you know, what can I do? Like, you don't believe in me. But on the flip side, I met a football player when I was traveling last week, and he said the opposite. He said that you can't give a rookie quarterback too much confidence. You cannot name the team his because if you do, then he doesn't have anything to fight for. So Jerry Jones in the media saying that this is still Tony's team could possibly give Dak giving him motivation and can keep him hungry. I don't know. Whatever the case is, Jerry Jones is officially singing a different song and dancing a different dance because now he's saying, I don't really know whose team this is. We'll see. We'll wait it out when Tony is completely healthy.
Yeah, go ahead.
It shouldn't be up to him. It should be up to Jason Garrett, first of all. He's the coach of the team.
He's a puppet of the team.
Right, he is the puppet.
He's a puppet.
But technically, he's the coach, and it should be his decision. But there's no way you can replace Dak right now. Are you kidding me? 5-1, you just beat the Packers in Green Bay.
Best offensive line.
Come on.
No way.
Like, what do you... First of all, there's a great saying, if it's not broken... Don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't fix it. There's nothing that needs to be fixed. There's no reason whatsoever for them to go back. I think Jerry knows it, and he's slowly, you know, backtracking a little bit. And I think Tony knows it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just dumbfounded that Jerry Jones... Have we been watching the same Tony Romo in the past couple of years? Like, I feel like he has this, like, gloss over him, like, oh, I love me some Tony Romo.
Right.
Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. You have this star quarterback, and he's winning you games, and I get it. Tony Romo has done stuff for you in the past. But at the same time... This guy is leading you to potentially get into the playoffs.
God, yeah.
Potentially Super Bowl, the way NFC is looking.
I mean, seriously.
I mean, the Vikings are the only team that I think looks better than the Cowboys right now.
And
that's debatable.
And I know that people... Okay, let's talk about Dak. Like, Dak has been somewhat of a golden child. He didn't go to a Kanye West concert. He got free tickets to go to Life of Pablo concert tour, whatever. He didn't go because he wanted to stay home and watch the Texans-Patriots game. So he's a student of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he had an opportunity to travel overseas to film some kind of something for an endorsement deal. He declined that because he said he wanted to spend any off time that he had with his family in Louisiana. He also said that instead of going to Vegas or Miami on his bye week, which I think right now is the Cowboys' bye week, that he chose to go home and spend time with his grandma. So that, to me, lets you know that this young man is focused and he takes this job very seriously. And a lot of people who support Tony Romo will say, well, Tony Romo, when your team is down 17 points, you know, he can you know, get your team back from insurmountable deficits and win the game
by
for
throwing an interception.
Right. or that Tony Romo, like, is great at two-minute drill, whatever. But Tony Romo's only won 2 postseason games.
Thank you.
So if you want to compare Tony Romo heroics to Dak Prescott heroics, they both look pretty damn good in the regular season. Keep Dak in.
Well, Dak only had 6 starts, to be fair to Tony.
True.
And I think Tony's one of the most underappreciated quarterbacks of our generation. I'm talking about the whole generation, and I'm saying that as a Giants fan. I think Tony Romo's a very...
Because he's injury-prone. Are you serious?
Is he not a very good quarterback when he's in? I'm not saying that he has a great postseason record, but there's a reason why Jerry Jones feels the way he feels about Tony Romo. Tony Romo's a very good quarterback.
He's a very good regular season quarterback.
With that said...
You want Eli or you want Tony Romo?
I'll give me Eli, because I'm a Giant. Fan,
thank
though.
You, and you, but, and you have, and you have 2 Super Bowls in your lifetime this. Versus the Cowboys having not won any since the 80s.
I'm going to say this.
Go ahead.
I think Tony Romo's a better quarterback than Eli Manning.
He might be, but Tony Romo doesn't have any Super Bowls.
Okay. None. Zero.
Okay.
Nilch.
Or even any appearances.
I'm not arguing that, but okay. Let's get back to what my point was.
Okay.
I just wanted to put it out that I think Tony Romo's a good quarterback, but I do
a good regular season quarterback.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
I lost my point.
Sorry, J-Rod.
It's okay. Oh, no. This is my point. I actually was going to agree with you on a little bit. You were talking about how Tony Romo is good at coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I think a big flaw of Tony is that the reason why they always coming back is sometimes because of him. Like, he'll throw an interception early, they'll get down early. And with Dak, the offense seems to be more stable.
Mm-hmm.
They run the ball with Ezekiel Elliott, which is easy to do because he's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And that O-line's awesome. And Dak is such a calming presence. It's like the opposite of Tony. As good as I think Tony is, Tony's like a wild gunslinger.
He is.
And sometimes that can be kind of difficult to, you know, contain.
And I don't think Tony Romo is as athletic as, let me start over. Tony Romo is not as athletic as Dak Prescott.
No.
So, granted, he's more tenured and, of course he's more tenured. He's 36 years old.
Right.
But Dak, if Dak can't get it done with his arm, he has the confidence to you know, get you those extra yards on foot.
And as good as I think Tony Romo is, I do like the way the Cowboys look better under Dak. They look more professional, more
Do they have a timetable of when Tony Romo was supposed to be back?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, Jerry Jones was like, oh, Tony Romo is completely healed. And then Dak and those Cowboys went into Lambeau and beat the Packers pretty convincingly.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, Tony's not quite ready yet. Yeah. So I think that Tony Romo low-key could already be healthy. I really do.
But he's coming off a couple of injuries, so it's kind of like, what Tony Romo are you going to get in the first place? You don't even know if he's going to return to form.
Yeah, he could be the Peyton Manning of last year.
The writing's on the wall, say, stick with Dak. There's no reason to go to Tony.
Is he done in the league? Is he done at the Cowboys?
He's done with the Cowboys. I don't think he's done with the league.
Okay.
Yeah, same. I actually see him going to, I know this sounds weird, I see him going to the Browns.
Oh my God, we're quarterbacks and everybody goes to die.
But...
Dang.
He's better than anything that they have.
Tony's good. I'm sorry. I'll go to bat for Tony. And I'm a Giants fan. That's coming from a Giants fan.
Why are you going to bat for him like this?
Look at his, not just his numbers. He's just...
He must be your fantasy football quarterback, or was at one time.
He was at one time. He actually won me a championship.
It all comes back to that.
No, he's good. I'm sorry. He's good.
Okay.
He is. I'm not saying he's great. He's good.
I'm not saying that he's not good.
But his time has passed, though. Can we agree on that?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes, it's been up, 3-4 seasons ago?
I just wanted to defend him. He always gets beat around in the media, man. He doesn't deserve that. He doesn't deserve it.
I think a lot of the grief that he gets is because Jerry Jones rides his balls so hard without reason. It's almost like a good old boys, billionaire boys club type thing.
Yep.
And that, to me, because sports is supposed to be the one thing in life that's a true meritocracy, and that you have somebody like Jerry Jones, who, even though it's not his son, it's almost like nepotism with those two, even though it's not really his blood son, that I think is offsetting for a lot of people when you watch.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The bromance of Jerry and Tony.
Yeah.
All right. Any other stories that we didn't talk about that y'all want to talk about real fast before we got to wrap?
It's currently the top of the 7th, 2 men on, 1 man out, and the Cubs have them on 1st and 2nd. And Javier Baez is up to bat.
Okay. Packers up 20-10. Your boy Aaron Rodgers has thrown 2 touchdown passes
in
the second
Jesus.
Half.
Did Cobb catch one of those?
They both went to Davante Adams.
And can we get some eyes on the Miami Virginia Tech game for all you Coach Mark Rick fans out there?
I will check for you.
Okay. While he's checking, we're going to go ahead and tell you guys goodbye. what, you got a score?
Wait, but Miami and what?
Miami, Virginia Tech.
Oh, remember I told you it's 37-16.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Is it over?
Yeah, it's done.
Good job! Go, Hokies! Every Thursday night, 7 o'clock, right here on VHL Online. Sports Weekly, American A. Davis. You can find me on Instagram, Insta Story, Twitter, at Erica Renee D.
Hey guys, you can. My name is Charlie Myers. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Go Cubs.
Josh Rodriguez, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_.
And as always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Sports Weekly at The Sports Weekly. If you see me on Instagram, I will be wearing a New York Yankees hat, but I'm all Dodgers. Go Dodgers. Go Blue! Until next Thursday night. See ya.
Bye.
Take care.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.